Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
My subject for a while today is simply the confidence booster. Ephesians 3 and 12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." So according to this verse, we can speak it, we can go there, we can get in, and we can do it with confidence. We have boldness by the blood of the Lamb. We have access because of anointing that He has given us, because of authority in the Word of God, and because of the abilities that the Lord gives us. As Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Now think about this. Medical research shows a vaccine contains weakened forms of the disease-causing virus or bacteria or parts of these germs. Or it may be made of an altered genetic blueprint for the germ that can make you sick. The shot triggers your immune system to attack the foreign organism like it would if you actually got the disease. This helps your immune system remember the disease-causing germ. If you're exposed to it again, the antibodies can recognize and kill it before it causes harm. Research has shown that booster shots train your body to recognize the virus or the bacteria and defend itself. Now think about what we're facing in our generation. Viruses of condemnation, bacteria of bitterness, sickness and sin, disease and doubt, fear and the calamities of a broken heart. These things are stacked up against the emotions. These things are virulent substances of a demonic world that are constantly trying to slip into your spirit, trying to break you down, trying to make you feel inferior to the things that you must face, trying to intimidate you so that you walk around stumbling like a drunk man in the darkness. And yet the Bible tells us that God has given us boldness and access with confidence. Now think about that. You get boldness, you get access, and then you get something with it. You get confidence. That's the confidence booster. You have boldness and access, and then you have those two things boosted by confidence. Now, there are people that are walking around with incredible abilities. You have a skill set to be an amazing vessel for the kingdom of God, but the reason you don't go forward is because you're hesitant of your past. It's because you're still held in the chains of yesterday's mistakes. You still live with a prison mentality when you've been given the liberty of the Spirit. You still wear in your mentality and in your emotions the shackles of shame when you have been delivered from the guilt, the disgrace, all of the things that would point out your daily failures, all of your human deficiencies. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14 and 26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." The fear of the Lord, what shelters you, gives you confidence. What shames you, listen closely, my friend, what shames you takes away confidence. Flimsy doctrines won't strengthen you. Doctrines of devils cannot deliver you. Weak faith won't keep you strong. Satin sheets are comfortable to sleep on, but they won't safeguard you from bullets. Flimsy excuses and half-hearted preparations and indifferent desire, none of these things will give you confidence in the battle. But fear of the Lord, it's Kevlar. It's titanium against the shots fired from the darkness. It'll shield you from the shame. It will cover you from the compromises of the world that destroys confidence. And the reason that you have this confidence is because you have a foundational fear of God. You have a deep reverence for the things of God, for the sacred things of God. You wouldn't dare treat profanely the precious truths and promises of the Word of God. You have a piety about you. You have a desire to do good. You reach for righteousness. You want to walk down the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And so this fundamental fear of the Lord is what becomes a confidence booster. There are many that are going to shrink when it comes to facing the attacks of the enemy. There are many that are going to run for cover and hide in the darkness and in the shadows and in the rocks and in the caves because they don't have the boldness and the bravery to face the demonic forces of this hour. But those that have the confidence booster of the Word of God, those that have the fear of the Lord in them, they're not going to evacuate. You're not going to find them AWOL. You're not going to find them running for fear. No, they're going to be like what you see in those advertisements when the Marines are running toward the smoke. They're running toward the sounds of rapid fire. They're running toward the shrill sounds of the tanks moving over the gravel and the ground because they are made to face the worst of circumstances in the battle. And so are you, my friend, when you're equipped by faith and the fear of the Lord. Some of you understand what I'm saying. When you have been in a very intense situation, when you have put in long hours and you're very tired and you're achy and you're irrational and you become isolated and distant and you feel like nobody understands what you're really going through and they can't relate the particular circumstances that you're facing. You've given it everything you've got. But it's just like when you're really thirsty and you just even get a half a cup of cool water. It's refreshing, it's renewing, and it boosts your energy, even if it's just for a few minutes. It's like Gatorade commercials when you see people that have given themselves and poured out and they've sweat and run and they've absolutely exhausted every ounce of energy in their body. And you see them grab that Gatorade bottle and it's got the water raining down the side of it and they tilt it up really high and they drink it in and it's like it recharges the battery, it refuels the tank, it re-energizes the spirit. Well, that's what Scripture and the Word of God and the promises of truth and a prophecy spoken at the right time or a word of encouragement through discerning of a brother or a sister. It becomes a confidence booster in your spirit. Psalm 65:5 says, "By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea." So my friend, no matter where you travel or spend seasons in trial, God has a refuge to be found, a moving shelter, a constant fortress, a consistent help in the desolate places. Some might travel a few miles in life and forget what they left behind, but the power of truth goes with you. It travels well. You see, He gives confidence to the ends of the earth. If you're in the Siberian ranges of cold mornings and frigid expectations, I want you to know He gives confidence. If you're in the Sahara of heat and desert and long miles of waterless journey, He gives confidence. It doesn't just work on the regions of the familiar. It's not just working in places that you've already been, but it goes to places that you've never been. Territories of pain, landscapes of sickness, dark valleys of frustration. Your trial has a finish line, but not your treasure and not your testimony. To the ends of the earth, both in trial and time, chronologically and emotionally. And the powerful revelation is that it's not a place as much as it's a person. It says, "Who art?" Indicating the person of God. How could it get any better than that? divine housing, sovereign residence, spiritual refuge, confident and secure, peaceful and refreshing. It's kind of like a heavenly embassy on location, and God Himself is the ambassador. Oh, my friend, be encouraged today that no matter what terrible things you are facing, no matter what hurt you are trying to overcome, no matter what intimidating darkness you're trying to feel your way through, no matter how long the night has been, remember that weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's a miracle that's going to take place at the breaking of the day. There is a spiritual encounter that's going to come as you begin to seek the Lord in the dawn and in the morning, in the wee hours and the silence and the cold breezes that blow across the fresh dewed grass. God is walking in your direction. God is speaking and sending angelic confirmation and intervention to you to let you know that you can be confident He will never leave you. You can be confident He will never forsake you and leave you by yourself in what you are facing. He's going to go with you. Think about it. The Bible said, to the ends of the earth, we're friends to the ends. That's the way God feels. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So you're in uncharted territory. So you're facing things that you've never emotionally had to adjust to before like this. So we've been through a pandemic as Pentecostals, but what have we learned? Even with the losses, even with the heartbreaking setbacks, we have learned to be victorious. Churches that have greater attendance, churches that are baptizing and people that are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, your family members that are coming to God, associates that you work with that are now open to a Bible study when 2 years ago they wouldn't even think of it. My friend, God is giving the church confidence to the ends of the earth. Until we go to that last place on the spiritual timeline, when God has worked His last work and the trumpet of the Lord sounds, we are not left alone, but we are empowered and equipped by the Word of God to accomplish great things. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." See, you can walk the path of God's calling and will without fear of entrapment. Snares are ineffective where God's vision can clearly be seen. And you can walk with confidence knowing that every landmine of malice, every sniper of darkness, every snare of seduction and temptation will be unable to get you. Haven't you faced something in the last few weeks? Maybe you got a doctor's report and it sounded really bad, but you took it to prayer and fasting, and you went back for the follow-up, and you found out it wasn't as bad as you originally thought it was going to be, because God gives you confidence. God establishes boundaries for the miraculous and for the interventions of His supernatural presence, and we trust Him. Even when it looks like the enemy is winning, we still trust the Lord, because we know that God has our back, that God knows our future, that God is going to sustain us even in a time of famine, that God has a river that flows in the days of drought, that God has a fire of the Spirit that burns in the coldest of nights, that there is a Pentecostal passion that is unquenchable, and the experience that you have in God is going to help you in those days when you're exposed to the desert heat and exposed to the storm and the thunder and the wind. God's going to get you through that, because He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved, because the Lord is thy keeper. And that keeping in God is an unmatched, incomparable confidence. Isaiah 36:4 says, "And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? I say, sayest thou, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed, on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar? See, my friend, what's interesting about this text is that Rabshakeh, who was the chief of staff for the armies of Assyria, didn't know the difference between Egypt and God. This ruler, this second in command, if you will, to Sisera, who had come down with almost 200,000 soldiers into the land of Israel, this was a major mistake, because this is also a part of the modern church problem, not knowing the difference between the world and the word. Rabshakeh actually has the audacity to compare trust and confidence and assurance in the Almighty God as the same as trusting in idols and the ways of Egypt. In fact, he begins to make fun of them, that if you trust in Egypt, it's just a splintered reed. But what Rabshakeh would soon find out, as well as all of the Assyrians, is that our God is an immovable rock. Don't decrease the divine to the dirt. Get the Messiah out of the mud of human comparisons. God isn't in the bunch. He stands alone. Think about the placement of the numbers of these verses. It's 36 and 6 of Isaiah. 6, the number of man, and the weakness of Egypt that is mentioned. Look at it closely. But then God is mentioned in verse number 7. And we know that 7 is God's number. What this Assyrian, this Rabshakeh, this chief of staff tried to do was to sink the 7 of Jehovah into the 6 of Egypt's powerless word. But what is 7 minus 6? It's 1. When you take away the world from the word, you get the one God. When you take away the world from the word, you get the one way. When you take away the world from the word, you get the one true confidence in the one true God that will never fail you. But now think about this. What happens when we add 7 plus 6, the word and the world? The blending attempts of syncretism to make God something that he is not. Some witchcraft brew, some potion out of the perverse pits of darkness, and it doesn't work. Because when you put 7 and 6 together, you get 13, like Revelation 13, like the chapter of the Antichrist, who shows himself to be God. But my friend, take it all away. Give us the one God message. Give us the one route of redemption. Give us the one hope of humanity. Give us the one cross that will lead us to the crown. Give us the one bridge of salvation that will rescue us off of the sin islands of despair and take us to the New Jerusalem. So, my friend, that's why the Word of God says in Psalm 118 and 8, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence. That word is batak, trust, to be sure. So you don't want to put confidence in man. Then verse 9 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. See, there's no comparison. God has an incomparable power and presence, an unequaled sovereignty. And when we put our confidence in men, we're putting it in the influences of their limited experiences. But when we get exposed to the Word of God, when we stand under the shadow of the Almighty God, when we stand in the secret place of truth, when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning to the inferior confidences of men, not leaning on the arm of the flesh, not making an Uzzah mistake by trying to steady the ark or control the supernatural with human reasoning. But when we trust in the Lord, that's confidence. And then don't just put your trust in common men. He's talking about don't put it in royalty either. Don't put it in the governments of men. Don't put it in the hierarchy that sometimes is ruled and the strings are pulled by the spirits of darkness and the rulers of hell. Because in the end, all of their agendas are to build an apostate kingdom that rejects the word of God and establishes its own name, like the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. And we are facing it in this secular hour. We are facing it as the Bible tells us in Revelation 12 that the devil has come down upon the earth with great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. There are things being unleashed upon our society and in this end time hour that is causing people to run around with fear. But that's what confidence is. Confidence is you don't have fear because you know where you can truly put your faith. It's 100% guarantee. It's an absolute assurance. It gives you then a self-assurance that when you take a step on those icy patches and when you're trying to cross over on the thin ice, so to speak, you're not going to break through or plunge into the unfound depths. You're going to be able to walk with confidence because he's going to show you where to put your next step. He's going to secure your feet. He's going to make sure that you make it on this trail of righteousness. Something else about confidence is that it's vacant of fear. It's vacant of doubt. The things that hold you back, the things that reserve you in regret, the things that haunt your mind, make you feel like shame is too powerful of a force to ever break from the grip of. When you have confidence in the Spirit, you are able to ignore those things, negate those things, cancel those things out by the blood of the Lamb, because you are clean through the word that he has spoken, according to John 15:3. I've seen people walk away from God because they put confidence in somebody that when they broke that vow and they let them down, they couldn't get over it. I've seen people walk away from the church because they put their confidence in some kind of financial investment, and when it fell through, they lost their heart and didn't even want to pay their tithes or give to the kingdom of God anymore, comparing earthly investments to eternal investments. And so many walk away living in condemnation where they once had confidence, a tree stump being where there was once a flourishing tree, dangling with much fruit because of their desire to be faithful to the kingdom of God. Don't allow yourself to be one of these victims. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. This is dysfunctional insecurity. You can't eat and walk if a tooth and foot doesn't work right. If a house is falling down and barely standing and you decide to use it as a shelter, your confidence is misplaced. People trusting in human institutions that reject God is misplaced and dysfunctional. Your flimsy umbrella of false doctrine won't protect you from the fire and brimstone of judgment or the hailstones of trouble. Unfaithful means they won't show up. They won't be on time. You can't rely on them. They might be there and they might not be there. And the unfaithful man might actually be the best shot. He might actually be the best soldier. He might actually be the best physically fit on the battlefield. But if he doesn't show up, then there's no confidence. There's no real help. Let me tell you, the devil will leave you high and dry. He'll promise you the moon and bust you over the head with a beam. And that ain't a moonbeam. He will show you an easy route knowing there's a trap just down the road. And when you think about this, sometimes what you can do is replaced by the inquisitive, where were you? Yeah, you're a warrior, but you're nowhere to be found. Many want the blessing, but not the responsibility. They want to dine at the table and watch everyone else serve. But there comes a point when you have to realize you can't stand on the confidence of men. You'll never be secure with devil's lies. You can't be secure with the worldly junk food of immorality and perversion and anything goes. You'll never be secure with powerless weapons of the world that have no authority in the spiritual regions. My friend, Your confidence is going to come by the fear of the Lord and by your faithfulness to the Word of God. Stand on that Word today and begin to seek the Lord. Lay down the burdens at the altar and walk away with the blessings of true assurance in God.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.